I want to look again. It's the same psalm we had yesterday, but we have another part of it today because we're going through the kingship, and that's one of the great psalms about king. But I do want to point out one thing here. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Then who is he? See, if you look, the observance of the Sabbath is directly due to a word of the Lord. We measure the months, the years, the days by the movement of the sun and the moon and the spinning of the earth. But Shabbat is measured by the word of the Lord. So when Jesus says that he is Lord of the Sabbath, who is he saying he is? God, yeah. Now, I don't know if you've been reading the Pope's books on Jesus of Nazareth, but one of the people he quotes a lot, his name just slipped my mind when I said Jacob Neusner. You know, because he's a Jew, he has a book, a Rabbi Talks with Jesus. It's a very beautiful book. And, you know, he says, Jesus, I really love you, but I can't go along with this. God said, honor your family. You say, leave your father and mother and follow you. God said, keep the Shabbat. And you say, you're the Lord of the Shabbat. He knows what Jesus is saying. And we read these things and we don't know what he's saying. So it's quite important. Now, we have the same psalm we had yesterday. We have that famous reading where God picks another king. And he picks the youngest one, young, ruddy, good athlete. You know, he's about there killing bears just to protect his sheep. So he's a tough guy. And this psalm, the part we have today is the part that celebrates this choice of David. But, you know, and it's there, they prayed it, they sang it, and as I pointed out lots lately, for 600 years, they didn't have a son of David. In 586, when Hezekiah was brought into exile, the king of Jerusalem, that was the end of the kingship of David. Until Jesus. Herod, the king when Jesus was born, was not even a full Jew. He was a half Idumean and hardly a person for guiding God's people. Most of them were like that. And so we have these words, you see. Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful ones, you said, on a champion I have placed a crown. A crown. Over the people I have set a youth. The psalm, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have chosen my servant David. I will establish your offspring forever. I will confirm your throne for all generations. Did he do that? Do you see how we can trust the Lord? Not on our timetable, not the way we thought, but he did it, you see? And so the psalm goes on, as we did it yesterday, you know, your wonders, O Lord, are praised by the heavens, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. And so you see, the text is celebrating all that God does. Now, we do that every once in a while. We praise God every once in a while. But is there, what can I say, the habit of praise in our heart? Do we walk around like awed by God, grateful to God, looking, you know, pick up the paper and say, God, look where I could be living, look where I'm living? Look at all the people who've never heard the name of Jesus. And here I am. And I can hear his word every morning. Because you see, the word of the Lord preached is, Christ is present in an analogous way, the Pope says. Christ in the preached word is analogously present as he is in the Blessed Sacrament. So this isn't just like going to Mass, you know. This is Jesus Christ present here. The Vatican Council says that when these texts are read out, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. You say, we're such individualists, and now that we've got printing presses and so forth, we all go home with our own Bible and sit and read, which isn't a bad idea, but the home of liturgy of Scripture is right here. And it has a power here. And that's why the church wants the gospel preached every day. Whether it be two people at Mass or 2,000, you know, it should be preached because it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. And it's the power. So, think of this, huh? This choice of David. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Now they were praying this for 600 years and saying, we believe you, Lord, we believe you, this is your word, we believe you. They were under, you know, first the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Romans, I mean, then the Greeks and the Romans. They were subjected people and they never gave up hope that God would be true to his promise. It's a great lesson, don't you think? All right.